sunshine. Give me a do.
Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good hands. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a blockbuster weekend across Scottish football. As for the title race, Celtic will go first at Hibs, with Martin O'Neill saying he understands some of the Easter Road faithful not wanting their side to win. And then over to the big one, Hearts against Rangers on Monday. The SPFL say Rangers can have their 2,000 plus allocation for Celtic Park, but have backed the home side's condition that no tickets should be sold to members of the Union Bears. And in terms of relegation, it's all about the Championship tonight. The second tier season comes to a close, and Livy, can they keep it going? They're in action against Aberdeen. As if that's not enough for you, you get the thoughts of Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
The title race has taken everyone to the brink of madness, and that's why I'm here this evening, to be the voice of sanity. And I'll start with the ticket allocation story. I think that what the SPFL have decided is actually unenforceable. How do you prevent members of Rangers Ultras Group, the Union Bears, from getting their hands on tickets? You simply cannot. And I await Rangers' statement. I expect it to come tonight. I expect it to be of a negative nature. I don't think they'll be happy with this adjudication. And we'll have to wait and see where we go with this story, but I don't like stories like this, Gordon, this close to a derby match, not after what happened at the last one.
Well, the good news is, Scott Allen, there is more good football to get your teeth stuck into than you could possibly wish for. How big is this weekend going to be? Just imagine, come Monday night, how different the picture could look.
Yeah, same as last weekend, we didn't see Motherwell going to Ibrox and producing a performance like that. They did. And listen, Rangers now go to Tynecastle on Monday. If they were to lose a game, it would be the end of their title hopes. The Celtic and Hibs game through Easter Road froze up an incredible one, purely based on the fact you hear David Gray, Joe Newell the last couple of days speaking about they've got a job to do. Professionalism will always kick in from a players and coaches perspective. But if you were to ask 98% of the Hibs fans, even more than that, if they wanted to win the game, the answer would be no. So that throws up a whole can of worms when it comes to that game. And then we've got promotion. We're going to know who's won League 1, League 2 and the lower leagues by 5 o'clock tomorrow. And then the relegation games tonight on the Championship, going to be really interesting to watch tonight.
So what you're telling us is, if East Kilbride chuck it from here, we'll never see you on the show again. Only need a point, might not even need that. This could be your farewell if that goes wrong. You'll be able to show your face in public again.
Football's all about resilience, Gordon.
You're a former Hibs player. Who do you want winning Sunday?
Let football be the winner. Is that what you're going to say? Look at that. He's going for... He doesn't realise that no comment doesn't work in the punditry game. And you need to take him under your wing. Anyway, 0141-951-1025. That is the number that you need. So come on down. There could barely be more talking points if we tried. The latest of them, the breaking news this afternoon, if you like, was that SPFL decision on the tickets. This will be seen obviously as having backed Celtic, if you like, because the condition about no ticket sales to the Union Bears, that won't be overruled by the SPFL. That can stay in place, but the allocation is there. Should Rangers want their 2,500 or whatever the 5% works out to be, they can have it. So I guess the ball in Rangers court for now, sort of. And I'm sure loads of you will have opinions on that, so feel free to share them. It would be crazy of us to dedicate the full 2 hours to it when we've got such big games about to land. So all your thoughts there, please. Martin O'Neill today saying that he doesn't think it makes much difference. He's backing the Hibs players and the Hibs management. He understands, though, the Hibs fans don't necessarily want to beat Celtic because that might help hand Hearts the title, which is the last thing many of the Hibs fans want. So what do you make of that whole situation? We'll press Scott Allen for an answer on that as a former Hibs player as the evening progresses. I know we're a couple of days away from Monday night, but just how good is it going to be? Hearts against Rangers, everything that goes around it. We'll hear from Danny Rule today. Rangers fans, what's on your mind? How do you feel? Because there was so much disappointment last weekend, seen as a real missed opportunity, a real blow, that defeat against Motherwell. And of course, on to essentially an even bigger game this weekend. We'll hear from Derek McInnes as well. He says Hearts are still the underdogs going into the matches that they have left. Jens Bertolascu has been talking about his manager of the year snub, and tonight the championship. How good is that going to be? Three teams can all go down and they're all in action at the same time.
You know, we always say, where do you start? Well, never was the phrase more applicable than it is tonight. Where do you start with all of this? You know, a sensational 48 hours at Easter Road, Tynecastle. I always like to listen to Scott when he tells me about dressing rooms and the professional insight into the professional footballer's life. And he was saying earlier on today, when a game starts, the professional instincts kick in. I have absolutely no doubt the Hibs players will try to beat Celtic, no doubt whatsoever. The crowd might be down on the usual number for that fixture because Hibs fans don't want to see Hibs beat Celtic and are not going to the game. But I think that if Hibs come out and the professional instincts kick in, I'm not sure that Celtic are good enough to win at Easter Road. Far better Celtic sides than this one have gone to Easter Road and failed. It's not a place where Celtic do well. So I think they have their work cut out. I think the best they can get is a draw.
Are your professional instincts hampered though when the atmosphere isn't as good as it should be, and you go in with the full knowledge that your team goes on a counter attack, you expect Easter Road to rise and urge you on, and they all just sit and twiddle your thumbs? Right, your professional instincts like, dampened by that?
It's not going to be like that.
Listen, we had a Hibs fan phone in last night, say if they score a last minute winner, they'll sit in silence.
Yeah, but what about all the kids at the game?
They'll make loads of noise.
Yeah,
you're backing the 7 year olds to really spur Hibs over the line, are you?
Their team is Hibs and they want to see them beat a team like Celtic come to Easter Road. But listen, I'm with you. As soon as the whistle goes, the professionalism kicks in. Players always want to do well against either of the Old Firm, whether that's Rangers or Celtic. And the crowd can be flat. There's cup games are flat sometimes at Easter Road. It comes with the job, depending on the opposition. This is just a completely different outlook because I don't think we've actually seen this sort of narrative before, when it's been that long since we've seen a team outside Rangers Celtic go to win a league. So Hibs, for them, it would be the worst case scenario to see Hearts lift that title at Celtic Park in a few weeks' time.
Because that's the funny thing about it, is Hibs can still finish fourth. There's a European place, but a lot of these Hibs fans would go as far as to say, I'd rather not qualify for Europe than watch Hearts win the league.
I've listened to the programme all week and it's been fascinating. Even in my lengthy experience of it all, I've never quite gone through what's going on right now. I think when it comes to the equation, what would you rather have, qualification for Europe or Hearts not winning the league, 99.9% of the Hibs support would say Hearts not winning the league, because the bragging rights,
it's understandable. Yeah, it's totally understandable.
It's taken Hearts 66 years. They last won the league in 1960, for heaven's sake. So they can end a 66-year wait. Hibs and Hearts and Aberdeen and all the rest don't know how long might have to pass before another chance like this comes up.
Right, let's go on the phones. There's so much to get through. Give us your weekend preview. We've got Frank, who's going to kick us off first, though. Hi, Frank.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm not too bad, good. Thanks.
What made you call tonight?
I'm a Rangers fan, and I've learned about this ticket allocation for Parkhead.
Yep.
Now, it's crazy. Who implemented this? Was it the Celtic board? Because if it is the Celtic board, they've already banned their own fans, the Green Brigade, from Parkhead, and they're allowed back in. And the Rangers fans, the ultras, who I detest as a Rangers fan, because I think with the way they behaved at Ibrox in the Old Firm game was disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. This is laughable, what's happening now. There's got to be leadership from both clubs. If I was the Rangers chairman, I would say to the ultras, you behave yourself, and if you don't behave yourself, you're not getting into Ibrox again, and shut the section down, because there are plenty of other punters who actually want to buy a season ticket without having to put up with people acting like hooligans. Now, the last game was absolutely disgraceful. And what's happened today is only, it's pantomime to their own fans, their own fan base, rather than face the problem.
A few layers to it, Hugh. I mean, to remind everyone of the facts, if they had missed the story, I'm sure no one has. So basically what's happened today, the SPFL has in that sense ruled in favour of Celtic. I think that's accurate to say, following the dispute, because Rangers had asked the SPFL to step in after Celtic refused to give away tickets unless the Union Bears were banned. So the league has ruled that 5% of the stadium capacity should be made available for Rangers fans. So it's saying, go on, have your allocation. However, the SPFL did not overrule this ban, if you like, on the Union Bears, talking about security risks and safety risks and that sort of thing. I won't necessarily run through the fairly wordy SPFL statement where it talks about independent subcommittees and rules and regulations, working groups. I don't want to send everyone to sleep on a Friday night, but that's the gist of it. And Frank's kind of core point there, as you can hear Frank say, Rangers fan. He's not a fan of the Union Bears, but he still thinks this is wrong, doesn't see how it's enforceable. Who's decided this? How does it play out? It's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, I'm told privately that Rangers are not happy at all with the adjudication.
Well, they wouldn't be. And it's not what they wanted.
Their problem is that they cannot appeal the decision. It was agreed from the outset that when the subcommittee made their decision, neither Celtic nor Rangers could appeal against it. Well, Celtic have no need of an appeal because it's basically what Celtic wanted. My point, and I'm awaiting Rangers' statement to see where they stand on this, because they might very well say, we won't take any tickets at all. I don't think they'll say that, because they do want Rangers fans in there, because the game could have massive implications where the title race is concerned. But I think they're upset because there's an element of double standards about this, because Celtic have had problems with their ultras, the Green Brigade, but they sold them tickets for Ibrox for the last game while they were banned from Celtic Park.
But that's the point. Is Celtic would then, I'd imagine, behind closed doors, maybe not even behind closed doors, say, well, we banned them for 5 months.
Yeah, but there's still that element where they've sold them tickets for Ibrox while they were, at that time, banned from Celtic Park. So Rangers are not happy. We await Rangers' statement. My core point is it's unenforceable anyway, because the tickets will undoubtedly find their way into the hands of the ultras group, as they would do were the boot on the other foot and it was Celtic and the Green Brigade. So it's unenforceable. I just wish the matter could be resolved very, very quickly, because we're too near a high pressure fixture.
Is there a sort of PR element to this, as there always is when it's these two clubs and want to have your way and not want to be seen to bow to the other, and you know, that sort of thing? Because the number of tickets that would have gone to the Union Bears was pretty small anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it would be a small number, but then under
around 70, I'm told.
But then there's like the principle versus the reality of it as well, and I always think kind of doing what is seen to be right for your fans is an important thing for both the clubs in Glasgow.
Of course, a bit of grandstanding going on, but we have what we have now. They have reached their conclusion, and it is that Rangers get their tickets, but to the best of their ability, try to exclude the Union Bears. And I do not believe it's possible for Rangers to exclude every one of them. So Rangers now have to make their decision and make it public. Are you taking any tickets at all, or are you taking the tickets under the conditions preset by Celtic and now the SPFL subcommittee?
Alan's on the other line. Hi, Alan.
Good evening, panel.
How are you, Alan?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
I hope you are well.
Yeah, thank you.
Frank covered it and Hugh covered it greatly. I am disgusted with this decision, and it's been covered. As we know, when Rangers get tickets for their fans, Rangers distribute them. The same as Celtic. And as Hugh says, the Green Brigade were banned for months on police advice, may I add. But Police Scotland allowed the Green Brigade into Ibrox as well. And we all know what happened that day. As Frank says, the Union Bears were 100% out of order. The Celtic fans coming on the park were out of order. The destruction of the stadium was disgusting. I don't know where we go with this, because as a Rangers fan tonight, I'm disgusted with this board. I thought you were only bad from a football stadium on a football banning order, they are basically saying you aren't getting in. Why? And where do you go from here? I said to your producer, I think after this game, Rangers will come out publicly and say, that's it. You can have phone-ins like I come on to use. You can have press. No one's Celtic fans are never getting back into Ibrox.
That's probably the most pertinent bit, Hugh, is I was going to ask the impossible here of sort of remove yourself from whatever side you're on here, for, if you can, but no, maybe at mission impossible here.
Yeah.
And think, what does this mean going forward? Is it a precedent that a club can handpick who does and doesn't go to the next game? That's probably the most relevant bit for us all to think about in terms of where that goes. I know it'll be shrouded in tribalism and bias, and I'm sticking up for my team and I'm sticking up for mine, but it is quite an interesting ruling on that regard.
Yeah.
Does that mean that from now on that's what can happen?
You ground the round on this, because Rangers could start off by saying, right, you can have an allocation of tickets for Ibrox for league matches. They can't dictate who gets into cup matches, SFA business, but they can give Celtic an allocation and then put in their own caveat saying, but no Green Brigade members. But I think it will be more stringent than that. I think that there's a severe danger that in terms of league matches, Celtic Park will be for Celtic fans only, and Ibrox will be for Rangers fans only on Derby Day.
But even if Rangers take 2,500 to Celtic Park next week, though?
Rangers, I think, will take the 2,500 because it's too important a league match for them to go there, minus any support whatsoever. But I think that the clubs are entrenched, and I think that that will lead to Old Firm derbies in the league being only for the fans of whichever ground it's in.
I know you thought you were here to talk about midfield playmakers and who was going to pull the strings this weekend, but this is what it's really all about. Scottish football, the madness, the politics.
Yeah, and this is when Hugh Keevans comes into his own. No, I think for me, the most likely thing you're going to see is now tit for tat. You'll go on to the fixtures next year. It comes to Ibrox, Rangers will then come up with their own caveat, as Hugh says. At the same time, how do we know a lot of the boards on both sides don't prefer that just being their own fans in, because the cost of saving, shutting roads, organising, policing, everything in football, especially at that level, reverts back to cost. So it might be in their best interest, cost wise, and obviously protecting their fans, as they say, and that suits them. But for us, who want to go and watch a game of football with some passion and something that's been the lifeblood of Glasgow as a city with that derby, we want to see fans on both sides but behaving properly.
So Alan, you think that basically going forward next season, no away fans on the back of this?
100%. Apart from the cup game, I wouldn't have went back to it anyway. That's a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been to Old Firm games for 40 years and it's great having the away support. It brings different atmosphere. The last one was poisonous, as we know. Yeah. But as of now, no, I wouldn't have Celtic fans back at Ibrox on a personal level.
Thank you very much. That was Alan in Falkirk on 01419511025. I'm sure loads of you feel strongly about this, and that's what we are here for, those strong feelings. If you want to get them in, do so now. If you want to talk about that title race, it is the same number. We'll call you and we'll speak soon.
Sleep better and save big right now at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $800 store-wide. Get buy one, get one free deals, plus a free adjustable base on select mattresses. With 0% interest financing, free delivery, and our exclusive lifetime price guarantee, you can't miss this. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
This Mother's Day, give mom more of what she deserves. A gift to Pennzone Salons and Spas. And now, when you buy a $125 Pennzone gift card, you'll get $20 in mama money free. From salon and spa services to specialty products, coffee, and cocktails, it's more than a gift. It's an experience. Visit PennzoneSalons.com to order online now through May 10th or stop by any of our 6 Central Ohio salons and spas. Celebrate mom and give Pennzone.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here on 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming. You can tweet us. We've got all the managers to hear from. Massive games to look forward to. Stretches us right through to Monday night as well. A bit of a different kickoff time that, but I'm sure everyone will be glued trying to find out what's going on at Tynecastle and what it all means. So get the calls in, and we'll work our way through it all between now and 8 o'clock. Hugh Keevans, How do you see this weekend playing out?
You want me to predict?
Oh, I wonder if we should ban you.
I'm going to help you out here because, you know, everyone's had their say. As I say, I've listened to the programme all week and everyone has their differing opinion. I think the best that Celtic can get on Sunday, Easter Road, is a draw. And, drum roll, I think Rangers will beat Hearts at Tynecastle.
I think the Tory games could be draws, to be honest. I think there's that much at stake. There's no kind of room for error. I think it will be a difficult game at Easter Road for Celtic. As much as Celtic have been winning games of late, I do feel that that fixture just has been difficult for them over the last few years. And then Hearts and Rangers on Monday. I just feel there was lots to like about Hearts' performance last week, albeit Hibs had nine men, but their games can be challenging in different ways. They managed to find a way again, as we've seen numerous times throughout this season. And Rangers, they have to have a response. But I do feel Hearts will get a point there, and the point won't be enough for Rangers.
Keep the calls coming then. 01419511025. That's the number Gary has dialed. Hi, Gary.
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Hugh and Scott. Hope you're all well.
Good, thank you.
Just a couple of points, if I might. First one, to ask you just about two statements he's made this season. So he wants to reinvest them. One of them is about Celtic giving 0% chance of winning the league.
Well, do you know what? In the sweepstake, I had 35 minutes past the hour, so you've done us, Gary. I'm glad somebody's brought it up.
Until can I just take that one at a time then, Gary? I said it. I'm not going to go back on it. And until such time as Celtic have won the league, my bet stands.
That's not what it means, though. No, that's not what 0% chance means.
Yeah. So what chance do Rangers have now for you here?
But 25%.
So 75% Hearts.
Uh-huh.
But just to clarify then, because we don't know how it plays out. If Celtic don't win the league, that doesn't mean they had 0% chance.
That's for me.
No, it doesn't. No, but it does, like, factually, it doesn't.
I'm not interested in facts.
I think this means he knows, Gary, but he, much like when the two clubs grandstand against each other, he can't back down now.
Yeah, he's just kind of trying to stick to his guns, but I know, and he knows that. He knows Celtic have a fringe of a 25% chance. How can Celtic have zero? It's just nonsense here. So let's just forget about that, because if you're not going to play ball with it, then there's no point talking about it. The other statement you made this season was about the shift in the balance of power in Glasgow. How's that going for you?
Well, this is a thing that takes a while. I mean, I look at Celtic and I'd be concerned for Celtic because of the overhaul of staff that is required, playing staff, and they need to make a correct decision on the manager, that which is going to be a massive call for Celtic. I think there'll be very few players about Celtic at the moment who'll be there next season, and you have to see how the rebuilding work goes. My point was based on the fact that Rangers, after years of chaos, now have financial stability. They now have stability within the boardroom after years of infighting. And at Celtic, you still have a situation where the fans do not care for Dermot Desmond and the way he runs the club. And you've had three managers this season. And I just think that there is stability at Ibrox, which is not matched at Celtic because there's too much to do in the summertime.
Yeah, Celtic are still sitting above them with all this chaos that's raining down on Celtic Park.
Well, you're taking a short-term view. I'm taking a long-term view.
Sure, when we spoke about this before, Sue, because I was the one that phoned you up and kind of asked you about that statement, and you said you were talking about this season. So that's short-term. That's you were talking short-term because you were like, no, I'm talking this season. So
do you look at Celtic as a Celtic fan and think to yourself, there's an awful lot of work to be done here?
I do, but I'm talking about statements that you've made that are kind of, you're sticking by them just because you don't want to admit you were wrong with the whole 0% chance, with the shift in the balance of power. The two statements are, at this moment, factually incorrect.
Well, no, see, in fairness to Hugh, and I feel dirty sticking up for him, if he feels the balance of power is shifting, not shifted, it's not wrong yet, it's not right either, but we wouldn't possibly know. You could, again, I can't believe I'm going to put a bit of weight to his argument. If Celtic are used to winning the title out of sight every season, and all of a sudden Rangers take them to the last day, and then next year maybe they win it, maybe Rangers win it by a point, and so on, that would be a shifting, wouldn't it? I don't think he's saying it's shifted, it's done, it's over.
If buts and maybes, Gordon.
But in your own part.
Yeah, because a statement like that can't. It's not about saying Hugh's right either. But if he feels that it is shifting, we could only tell in time. And then in a couple of years, if Celtic win back-to-back titles, I think at that point you say, Hugh, you were miles off it.
Gordon, Hugh's statement was shifting the balance of power in Glasgow. No, the balance of power is shifting. There has been a shift in the balance of that. I mean, that's present tense. No.
It's underway. It's underway, in my estimation. And the reason why you're calling me is because I say things that get you irritated and you get on the phone. So
I just want to hold you to account for kind of silly statements.
I am, well, you know, in your estimation, they're silly statements. The shift is underway.
You know that there's more than a 0% chance of Celtic winning that league, especially if you're saying Rangers have a 25% chance. So let's just kind of be honest about it and just say what you really feel, rather than what you've said before and you know you don't want to get back on it. So anyway, we'll see at the end of the season if there's been a shift in the balance of power or if Celtic have had a 0% chance. Okay, we'll come back to that.
Good night now.
Thank you, Gary. That was Gary. Oh, sorry, you got more, Gary?
Do you want to, I've mentioned about to the producer about the whole ticket thing with Union Bears and stuff. And I made the wee analogy, and your producer, when he phoned me back, says, look, you need to use that.
Oh, did he?
So my kind of analogy was that, obviously, Celtic Park is Celtic's home. Now, if you go to one of your friends' parties, okay, and there's another group of friends that you don't really know, but they're there, and most of them are okay, like a certain group of them who are just causing trouble and mayhem, and they're not very nice people. See, in your party, the next time you're having a party at your house, you might invite some of the other people that your friends with. You're not going to invite the ones that are causing trouble. Invite the ones that come to your football ground with knuckle dusters and masks, cause mayhem. So
there's no moral high ground on this one.
You don't get invited to parties.
No, I don't like parties. Anyway, there's no moral high ground on this one, Gary, because Rangers should be doing more to address the fans who disgraced themselves when they met in the cup tie against Celtic. And Celtic do act against the Green Brigade, but let themselves down by giving the Green Brigade tickets for Ibrox for that ill-fated cup tie. So there's no moral high ground here. Both have supporters that bring the clubs into disrepute, and Celtic are trying to cleanse, if I can use that word, the game which will take place a week on Sunday. But for me, what Celtic and the SPFL are trying to do is unenforceable, because you cannot stop tickets getting into the hands of people you would rather not had those tickets. Would you agree?
And is that possibly what happened the last time? As part of this, when I was reading it, it was very wordy, the SPFL statement, and a lot of jargon in there. But talking about, because the investigation into what happened at Ibrox isn't complete yet, there are no learnings from it. You know, there are no conclusions. One of the issues on the day was ticketless fans.
Yeah.
Charging the gate.
Yeah.
So we don't yet officially know how that came to be.
No, I mean, it lets you know just how complex the whole situation is, that the independent investigation into what happened at Ibrox is still incomplete. But I go back to it, there is no moral high ground. Both have sets of supporters who behave in a way that is disgraceful on occasion. And at the same time, it's impossible to keep them out of Celtic Park and Ibrox, because there would be a transfer of tickets from supporter to supporter, and Green Brigade members would get into Celtic Park, to Ibrox, and Union Bears will get into Celtic Park on the 10th of May. I think I'm certain that will be the case. So we are in a bind with this particular issue. But it's the fault of two sets of ultras and others, because I always make the point, the first three arrests made after the trouble at Ibrox and the cup tie were men of 47, two of them 47 years old, and one 54 years old. So it's not just youth that caused the problem. But But for me, the problem is without a solution and will remain without a solution because it's too widespread, and the adjudication today from the SPFL is basically unenforceable.
Thank you to Gary. What about Graham on the other line? Hi, Graham.
Hi, how you doing, guys? All right?
Good, thank you. What have you got for us?
Well, just a wee point on what Gary was saying there with his analogy. Surely, if he's gone with what he says, then he'd be banning the Green Brigade guys for going as well, then, because both of them caused trouble. But anyway, that's not here and there. It's been tit for tat for weeks. What I was going to say was, there could be a solution, and all you need to do is tell the guys that are not allowed to wear balaclavas or have hoodies up. And then, with this day and age, with the surveillance and cameras, etc., we get told in advance, they sign a treaty, whatever, with the police, and they say, any cause any problems, you'll get football banning orders, that's the end of it. And then people get surveillance throughout the game, they can see who's doing what. If they want to pay an extra police bill to do that, then both clubs, I'm sure, would need to do that to get the fans in. But I don't think Rangers should knock back the tickets, even if the Union Bears can't again this time. But there should be a precedent set in future. Fan groups should be allowed to go. These guys go to all the games, but the guys that cause trouble should not be allowed to go, which is absolutely fine.
But how do you enforce that? How do you enforce that, Graham? How do you keep them out of the grounds?
So you enforce it by, at the moment, everyone can go, and then, like I said, you're not allowed to wear balaclavas or have hoodies on. You can be identified if you cause any trouble then through the camera surveillance, and you can get kicked out and banned, and you sign something in advance saying that you're happy with the conditions. The stewards obviously go through.
So you want 50,000 individual supporters to sign a form saying they will not wear balaclavas?
No, the guys from the Union Bears and the Green Brigade, because when they go to the away grounds, you'll get a small allocation anyway, so it must be easy to model them. They get a group allocation. So
you're describing a world that will never happen, because you're not going to get football fans to sign forms saying they will not wear balaclavas or do this or do that.
I don't mind the search for solutions. I think what we can sort of safely assume, though, is that it's extremely difficult. I mean, there's already CCTV, there's already surveillance, you're already not meant to go with a balaclava over your face, you're not meant to take pyrotechnics into football games, and the list goes on. It's how do you guarantee that all that stuff's enforceable? You'll remember the last time there was, without going over old ground, some fans felt that, well, there wasn't enough police, there just wasn't, there should have been a line of police right across, that stops the issue. And the police, understandably as well, came out and said, well, why should we dedicate every single resource and limited funds and whatever we have? And again, so finding this one solution that sort of suits everybody is clearly very difficult.
No, it's impossible. It's a problem that we have. The Celtic Rangers fixture has become a problem. And it's, of course, well-meaning that you look for a solution, but there is no solution. It starts on the morning of the match, it goes on before the game, during the game, after the game. You're looking for a sanitised world that you will never achieve.
To be fair, though, there's always has to be something and some steps. And I'm not pretending it's been a wonderful family day out, but the cup game was a bit of an outlier in terms of recent ones that we've had, and we know there was the much bigger allocation and so on. But they played each other a couple of times in the league this season, so I don't want it to come across as if like all hope is lost, Scott, and it's completely impossible, because I don't think that's right either.
No, I think just the pressure that was on that game, the penalty shootout, Celtic obviously not going in his favourites that day, Rangers fans expecting to kind of blow them away with the injuries that they had. But at the same time, I'm with you. The thing with football tickets is, especially in a city like Glasgow, they can always find a way to people who want to get into a game. That has always been the case and always will be. I do feel that. At the same time, we're talking about the police. They're talking about not having the numbers and the finances to get as many police officers in the stadium. I can understand that, but there still sometimes has to be a middle ground there. But stewards as well, if you're asking stewards to go over to these sections with Green Brigade and Union, it's an intimidating situation for a steward who obviously isn't getting paid a lot of money to put themselves at that sort of risk, and they don't quite know what they're dealing with. The whole situation, especially in that day, came to fruition, and it led to see, for all of us to see some terrible scenes that day, some outrageous things on the pitch that we hadn't seen.
But Graham, you ultimately still think Rangers should just take this allocation and then take it from there?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I don't think the other fans should suffer. But I just feel sorry for the Union Bears. I'm no one myself, but I was at the 3-1 game at Celtic Park. There was no trouble whatsoever. And like I said, it's probably because it's a smaller group to manage. I do think that the club should foot the bill to get additional policing in, whether they're available or not. Try and do something to make an effort. And like I said, the stewards, their job can be just to identify people, and it's up to the police to pap them out. And I'm sure once a few of them get papped out, they'll think twice. Think, wait a minute, this is a bit more serious. I know
it's not a question of paying for extra police. The police are telling the clubs and telling football in general, they can't police Celtic Rangers, Rangers Celtic matches to the extent the public would like, because it would then mean that the rest of society, not concerned with the football match, didn't have sufficient police coverage.
Oh, my goodness, Hugh Keevan's barely an expert. Definitely not an expert, in fact, on football matches, never mind policing logistics and operations. You're asking a lot of them this evening. If you want to talk about actual football matches, that would be lovely. If you want to keep going with this, that is your right as well. But before we go any further, what about some good news to cheer everybody up?
Clyde One.
Oh, today was the big day on Make Me a Winner. And my goodness, a huge sum of money. And it wasn't too far away from here at all. It was Jessica who was shocked to get the winning call. And on Wednesday, you could win £250,000. But listen to this.
You are joking. You are joking. You are joking. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is the most amazing thing ever. You have no idea. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so very much.
How on earth would you react to that amount of money? Anyway, get in the draw now for your chance to win £250,000 on Wednesday. Text YES to 61025. Text 250 plus your standard network rate. Enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there. Or call 03434 269 340. Calls all charged at the standard rate. Over 18s only. Lines closed 5pm Wednesday. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. We have got an unbelievable and unmissable weekend on the pitch this weekend. It would be lovely to talk about it. I appreciate the tickets is a big deal to people, so your wish is our command. But let's try a bit before the end of the show and talk about the football as well. Brian and Ballornock's on first though. Hi Brian.
Hi guys, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Hugh, you said that Celtic are guilty of double standards here as regards the ticket allocation to Rangers. Mm. Can you explain to me in what part of this world that it makes sense to allow fans who the last time you played their team ran the length of the park, assaulting players, stewards, backroom staff, to get to the Celtic fans in the Brimley Road stand? Can you explain to me where inviting those people into your home ground is a sensible thing to do?
Yeah, I think both clubs have that to deal with, because, I repeat, Rangers have their issues with the Union Bears regarding the treatment of Ibrox matchday staff. So that's why I say there's no moral high ground. Rangers do have a problem, and Celtic reacted to their problem after Celtic matchday staff had been attacked by members of their ultras group. So it's a tawdry business altogether, Brian.
The other point is that you're saying that there's no way the clubs can police this selling of tickets. Rangers know what section the Union Bears sit in. They have their names, their addresses, their season ticket numbers. All they have got to do when they sell the tickets is ensure that none of those people get a ticket.
Of course.
That's not a hard thing to do.
However,
what happens after that?
However,
can't be held accountable for.
No Union Bear member is going to go and try and get a ticket. But he's got a pal that will get him a ticket. And that's the way it works for Celtic and for Rangers fans. There's no way that you can say there will be no Green Brigade member or Union Bear member at the match. You cannot enforce that, because the pals will give them tickets and they'll be undetected.
The difficulty with this, Brian, all round, is when we try and broad brush anything, it becomes flawed. So as an example, it's like the selective nature of this, saying, okay, no Union Bears, but you'll remember I can't remember what stage the legal proceedings are at, so I won't get too into it, but the image that was seen, the Celtic member of staff that you allude to down by the dugout, that wasn't someone that ran from the Union Bears section. That came from, you know, elsewhere in the stadium. So is it not this like selective idea that you can handpick who does and doesn't come that is just problematic more than anything?
Gordon, see this? These problems go back a while. I mean, we never ever found out what happened to the Rangers fans who threw the glass onto the Celtic penalty box. All of a sudden, the CCTV wasn't working and that was it brushed under the carpet. This isn't a single issue with Rangers fans. It's long-standing and there are several issues.
But that's the point. Like, you know, there have been arrests on the back of that day. What I'm saying is, you're saying Union Bears attacking people, so of course you can't let them back in. And I'm just saying that factually, some of the guilty parties that day weren't coming from the Union Bears section. That's all I'm saying.
So, because they don't come from Union Bell section, they can't be dealt with.
Brian, forgive me, but you seem to be addressing the situation by saying the fault rests entirely with Rangers and that there are no faults to be addressed concerning Celtic.
Have I said that? Have I uttered those words?
It's the impression... It's the impression that you are very strongly giving.
I'm not a Green Brigade fan, personally. Mm-hmm. They do a lot good for the club. There's a charity dude in England, but they do a lot of bad things that detracts from the club.
Yep.
And personally, the Celtic supported the team long before the Green Brigade was there, and they'll support the team long after the Green Brigade disbands.
In the meantime, both clubs are faced with elements within their own support that let the clubs down, bring the clubs into disrepute, and in terms of this match to come at Celtic Park on the 10th of May, Celtic are trying to ensure that they have a Rangers support who will be well behaved. But as I have said before, it's not just the young, the ultras who create trouble. It's others. I go back to it. The first three arrests made after Ibrox the last time, two men of 47 and one man of 54. So it's a widespread problem covering all age groups, and we're simply trying, whether it's the SPFL, Police Scotland, the clubs themselves, we're trying to keep a lid on a volatile situation which, in terms of the last meeting of the two clubs, got totally out of hand before and after the game.
How do you think it plays out, Brian, for fixtures going forward? Well, like, so next time there's a game at Ibrox, will Rangers handpick which Celtic fans aren't allowed in and so on?
Well, if it comes to that, it's the way it should be. At the end of the day, we all want to go to football and we want to go and enjoy it without being caught up in what happened at Ibrox or elsewhere. You don't want that out of football. I don't think any supporter wants that.
Therefore, in the fullness of time, it will be Celtic Park for the Celtic fans when they play Rangers, and Ibrox for the Rangers fans when Celtic go there. That's what's coming along.
You think so?
I think so, because the two clubs, as I say, are miles apart. I don't get the sense of compromise anywhere. Tonight on this programme so far, each caller supporting Celtic mm-hmm. or supporting Rangers is deeply entrenched.
I just feel like some have tried to be balanced, to be fair, and because there is that extra layer here. This is not a ban on tickets, is it? You know,
no.
So there may, in what is it, 9 days' time, there may well be 2,500 Rangers fans at Celtic Park.
I'm quite sure there will be, but the idea, whether you're Celtic or Rangers, whether it's at Celtic Park or Ibrox, the idea that you can basically hand pick the crowd is nonsense.
Thank you, Brian. It takes us up nicely to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, Beat the Pundit time. We'll pause for a bit of light-hearted relief and see who can win the coin or the ball. I learned last night that if you try and get mixed up between the words pundit and coin, you can get yourself in a wee bit of trouble. Oh. So I'll take extra care tonight. It's 0141 951 1025.
I think Scott Allen's turning up at 7 o'clock as well.
Oh, welcome. I'm going to sub you on for the second hour. Let's talk football at some point. We'll play Beat the Pundit first. Let's do it.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. A full hour, wall to wall, complete dissection of the ticket allocation story. We've got one of the best title races of all time, and it cranks up this weekend, can we please? It is of course up to you. Just one man's humble request that we talk about football at some point before we go. Can we manage it together? Let's see how we get on. Maybe it's wishful thinking on my part, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. And I'm sorry to remind everyone, but this is the 1 week anniversary. It was exactly 1 week ago today when one of the most shameful incidents in Scottish football history occurred. There is video evidence, picture evidence on the screen. I refer you to Exhibit A if you're watching on the live stream. Hugh Keevans, the most distinguished professional member of the Super Scoreboard team, caught cheating, looking at the answers, not realising that there's three big cameras in the studio, and he was caught red-handed.
See, I'm now a Super Scoreboard Ultra.
Have you been serving your community service since then?
Well, the grandchildren have basically declared that they're ashamed of me. Yep. But I've told them they might be out of the will, so...
Your punishment is not over yet. If you play tonight, you start on -1.
Oh, right.
Heads must roll for this, and there we go. Chris is on the line to play. How's it going, Chris?
Not bad. Gordon, how are you doing?
Surely Hugh on -1 is an easy prospect for you.
Well, I spoke to the director and he said, who would you like to play? And I said, Scott Allen, but I didn't know that he was starting on -1.
Exactly, so. See, it's a fast-paced story, this. It's developing all the time, and he does start on -1 if it is him. The blue side will be for Hugh, the red side will be for Scott Allen. It's the Beat the Pundit coin. I've been practising that all night since you texted me first, Scott Allen. Beat the Pundit coin. Thank you to the 573 people that got in touch on various social media platforms today to point out that I might have got some of those words merged together last night. Happens to the best of us.
It does.
It's fine.
Character building.
Nah, exactly. Nearly 10 years in the job, I think it's the closest I've come to getting dragged out by the bosses. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's see who we play. It is blue for Hugh, -1.
Ooh.
Let's see if his punishment is enough. And is a suitable for his crime last week. Chris, I'll give him something else to listen to. You have the usual 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep, go for
it. Right, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who won Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month for April?
Martin O'Neill.
Rangers played which team in the 2008 UEFA Cup final?
Zenit St. Petersburg.
How many clubs has John McGinn played for?
Six.
What nationality is Kilmarnock goalkeeper Max Strajek?
Czech.
Who's the manager of Morton?
Ian Murray.
Which championship team have been outside the top flight the longest?
Queen's Park.
Where would you find the John Hunter stand?
Park.
Okay, Hugh Keevans, can you hear us now?
Yes, a great relief to get away from that song, whatever it was.
That was terrible.
What was it?
No idea.
Put the needle on the record. Put the needle on the record. Put the needle on the record.
Sorry.
That's it.
That has done absolutely nothing to tell me what that song was. No?
I had no clue. I think I've got a decent music background. I didn't have a clue what it was.
Have you seen that viral clip that's doing around? It's a Scottish guy. Sorry, I don't know his name.
What? I thought you were going to say another viral clip. No, Scottish
where he's talking about the different, obviously misheard song lyrics. Leave my best pal alone. I'm going to show you this at the break. It's one of the best things I've seen, and I hope some people that are listening have heard it. Otherwise, nobody's going to know what I'm on about. It is unbelievable. I feel like playing it in the big screen. No,
aye.
You're not. No, you've not. Leave my best pal alone.
No,
can you hear what song that might relate to? I'll get back to you later on. Right, Hugh, you ready? Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. 2-1 Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month for April.
Martin O'Neill.
Rangers played which team in the 2008 UEFA Cup final?
Zenit St. Petersburg.
How many clubs has John McGinn played for?
3.
What nationality is Kilmarnock goalkeeper Max Stryek?
Austrian.
Who's the manager of Morton?
Pass.
Which championship team have been outside the top flight the longest?
Arbroath.
Where would you find the John Hunter stand?
Motherwell.
Okay. What do you think, Chris? He does start on -1. Is it enough?
I think it's tight. I think it's tight. He passed on.
Morton manager.
Yeah. Let's go through them and find out then. Martin O'Neill, Premiership Manager of the Month for April. You both got it. Hugh stays one behind because he's -1 because he's a bad boy. Rangers played Zenit St. Petersburg. You both got it. Hugh stays one behind. However, you've doubled the amount of clubs that John McGinn's played for, Chris. St. Mirren, Hibs and Villa. It's only 3, not 6. And Hugh Keevans is level. Max Stryek is Polish. None of you got it. We stay level. The manager of Morton is Ian Murray. Well done to you, Chris. You go one in front. I'm going to come back to the next question, because where would you find the John Hunter stand that is Motherwell? So that would be an equaliser for Hugh. So all comes down to which championship team have been outside the top flight the longest. Hugh said Arbroath. Chris said Queen's Park. It's Queen's Park. Well done to you, Chris.
Well done, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Well, Chris, do you know what? Do you know all that is? Justice, quite frankly. That is the sound of justice. He committed a crime, he got put on -1, and he has now lost as a result of it. So well done for dishing out the punishment.
Now this means that I have paid my debt to society.
Yeah, you consider yourself rehabilitated.
Yeah.
But you have to show contrition.
Put the needle on the record. Put the needle on the record.
Chris, who's your team?
Celtic.
Right, I've got a challenge for you for 30 seconds. Talk to me about the actual title race and the football stuff that's going to happen on the pitch between now and the end of the season. We've not had much of that tonight so far.
I think we've gave ourselves the best chance, because we're getting key players back, obviously like Alistair Johnston and Arnie Engels. A refound kind of form dies in Maida as well, which is obviously more than welcome. In my heart of hearts, though, I still think Hearts will win the league.
What makes you say that? Just the advantage they've got currently?
I just think the advantage and the way the fixtures are panning out as well, because they have such a motivation to beat Rangers as well. And if they can go into, obviously, the final game of the season, either 1, 2 or 3 points ahead, I think it's going to be really interesting, because the pressure is really just going to be all on Celtic, because they've obviously got that title to lose rather than Hearts got have the title to win.
What about the weekend? How does it feel? Like, all the feedback we got was that the Celtic fans sort of had this renewed sense of optimism from the Falkirk game. It just, the atmosphere felt better. Dyson Maeda was running the way he used to. Everybody was a bit more sort of up for it, and just something you could kind of sense. That does it feel that way, that for all the negativity there's been this season, there is now a belief amongst the Celtic fans?
It's probably the most belief I've had since the start of the season. Obviously we kind of seen the downturn in form under Brendan Rodgers, and then the renewed sense of optimism when Anil came back, and then the however many games at Wilfred Nancy was in charge for, the hope dropped again, but slowly kind of climbed back up, and hopefully getting ready for a good climax to the season.
Again, I go back to the point about Easter Road, Chris. You know, really good Celtic sides have gone there and struggled, and this is not a really good Celtic side. So I think that so much hinges on Easter Road on Sunday, because it could be a phenomenal weekend for Celtic, but they have to take care of their own business at Easter Road.
Hibs have been quite unpredictable this season, Scott, as well. So before we even get to this elephant in the room about desire to win, I don't necessarily think it affects the players as such, but you know, more the fans and what that does to the atmosphere. They'll be without their goalkeeper and their right back.
Yeah,
but it doesn't help having had those deserved red cards last week, I think everyone would say.
Yeah, deserved. But I think at the same time, Hibs' home form throughout the season has been pretty good. I think they've only lost 3 games. The problem for Hibs is they've drawn too many games. And I'm not saying I think Hibs are going to go and take 3 points, but I do think it'll be a close game. I think they could make it difficult and could potentially get a point against Celtic. At the same time, I would have to agree there. I did think there was a better energy about the place. I think the kick-off time, sun was shining in Glasgow. I think that optimism for the fans definitely helps that sort of game at Celtic Park. And then to add to that, Maeda, full of energy, full of press, showing what his main skill set is, pressing from the front. And what that does to the rest of the players, and we've seen that time and time again in the last couple of seasons, he triggers everybody else with that same energy. And that we hadn't seen that for a long time, so a lot of that has came down to just the energy that Dyson Maeda has been showing the last couple of weeks.
But how many tickets do Celtic get for Easter Road?
Yeah, it's not that many anymore, is it? No, it's not that full stand.
I agree with Chris. I watched the home Falkirk match in here last Saturday after the programme finished. I just stayed here and watched it all, and I thought the atmosphere inside Celtic Park was the best of the season.
It was, at the same time though, wasn't a fantastic performance from Celtic. There was still, I did think Falkirk caused them problems at times. I felt after they got that goal back to make it 2-1 that you felt that there was maybe a chance for Falkirk to nick something, and then obviously Maeda pops up and gets the third. So,
but might it? We're at that stage of the season. There's only 4 games to go. If any of the 3 were significantly better than the rest, they would be apart. They wouldn't be this close. So maybe it is something like, you know, one of the teams, and it looks like based on last weekend it was maybe Celtic, but maybe it changes again. Maybe it is just about who gets a wee lift, who gets a sudden injection of belief or confidence.
Well, you could use that for the both teams. Obviously, you're touching at Celtic, they've definitely got a lift from last week. I think it helps when
and they also know, and I know they're going first, but something needs to give at Tynecastle as well.
Yeah.
So what an incentive for Celtic. Now, incentive's not enough to win you football matches, but the cold reality staring them in the face, that get the job done, put the feet up, and you can't really lose the next day. Celtic fans can argue amongst themselves, would you rather Rangers lose and then that's them gone, or did both your rivals drop points on the
Celtic,
same day?
The Celtic fans would hope for a draw at Tynecastle. If they've beaten Hibs at Easter Road, they've got to hope for a draw at Tynecastle.
Do you think sometimes is Peter Pundit contestant, is he still with us on the line? I was just going to put it back to the Celtic fans out there as well. Would you rather, Chris, that they both drop points and it's a draw, or do you want a 3-horse race to become a 2-horse race first of all?
I think you need to eliminate a team, so I'd rather see it. I'd probably rather go for a Hearts win.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Aye, and then you've obviously, Hearts have still got to play Falkirk, they've still got to play Motherwell before you even get to the last day of the season. And then we obviously see what Motherwell did at Ibrox on Sunday there. And that's, if Motherwell have found the form again, obviously I know they dropped off for a couple of weeks. I think it's going to be an incredible game for everybody, because obviously Celtic have still got to play Motherwell away.
Nobody's looking forward to that game. If you're going there, and I think it tells you what players think and how they feel within the game, that you obviously see the amount of players in the team of the year. That is a game where if Motherwell are on it, they can make it really difficult.
Do you know what I love about this guy? He's angrier about Jens not being in Manager of the Year than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's not a Motherwell fan, as we know. But you've not taken that news well, based on the few phone calls I've had this week.
I think it's horrendous that he's not in it. I really do.
So why not then?
Why is he not in it? I honestly can't get my head around it. Unless it's just how do I say that? I don't get how any manager in Scotland who's voting for a fellow manager, and look at the players that are in Team of the Year, who many of us has all seen over the last 5 or 6 seasons in Scotland, and not play the sort of football that they have done, come in with a new manager, play some of the best football that we've seen in a long time in this country from a team outside, out with Rangers or Celtic, and not be voted. He has outplayed teams on many occasions this year, and teams go and beat Celtic at times, and they go and beat Rangers at times, but not playing that level of football with that level of control.
Again,
I think it's shocking that he's not been voted in it.
From listening to the programme all week, Jens Bertel Askew has done what the SPFL cannot do. He has united Celtic and Rangers, because both Celtic fans and Rangers fans who have been turned over by Jens Bertel Askew came on and expressed their disbelief that he wasn't there.
Chris, what about the other, the big talking point really from Easter Road, this notion that you are up against a Hibs team that don't even have the backing of their own fans this weekend? Does that actually manifest itself into the football match in any way, or?
No, I mean, you're still going to get 11 Hibs players out there. They're going to be trying everything. There'll be guys obviously going for new contracts. There'll be, you know, they've still got a European place to play for as well, as much as there's an outside chance, and I'm pretty sure that's what David Gray will be hammering home with them. In the back of their minds, maybe those who are, you know, maybe kind of rebellion minded, so to speak, you might think, we don't want to do too well here because this might hand us the title. But, like, I think somebody said last night, they're professional footballers. You know, they've...
I always go back to the point, Chris. The game's live on Sky. Are you really, as a Hibs player, going to make a fool of yourself live on television?
No, but I feel like we've worked through it a bit this weekend, though, this week. I think there's a distinction. I don't think anybody's saying that. When I set up the conversation, I'm not saying that either. I'm trying...
You're just like, how does the atmosphere then affect...
Because we can't sort of be selective when we act like fans are important, right, to the outcome of a football match. How many managers up and down the country every week do you hear say, oh, they were the 12th man, they really dragged us over the line? Does it hamper Hibs if their fans aren't there to drag them over the line?
Well, yeah, for example, when the Celtic did ban the Green Brigade, people said it's like a library during matches. If you take the Green Brigade away, it's like a library, silent.
I just feel, though, when you're a team playing against Celtic, though, especially as a player, you go out to do well against them, because that game, that's the game where you're judged on.
Thank you, Chris. Let's hear a bit from Martin O'Neill. He can understand why some Hibs fans want to lose on Sunday, but again, like everyone, is looking at the players being fully determined to get the win.
I can maybe understand that maybe some Hibs fans wouldn't want Hearts to win the league, but that's good enough. That won't cross over to their one, to their team selection, two, to the coaching staff. Absolutely not, and to the players. In fact, I think they would be more invigorated by news of that there. So that's, if I could call upon some Hibs fans to refrain from that, that would help. But no, I get it. I understand that. You know, I'm quite sure here it would be something similar for some Celtic fans. Might not want our closest rivals to, you know, I don't mean closest in the sense, and ones that are pretty well not too far away to win the league as well too. So I don't know.
What about Graham, who's a Celtic fan? How is it going to play out, Graham?
Well, as our faith here, producer Gordon, nobody's actually thought that should Hibs beat Celtic on Sunday and Hearts beat Rangers on Monday, and it's a draw between Celtic and Rangers next Sunday, and Hearts even get a draw next week, Hearts are the champions, and both Celtic and Rangers can't catch them.
With all due respect, I think people haven't mentioned it, because that's four outcomes that you have to get correctly falling into place. I mean, of course it could happen, but that's a lot of stuff, is it not? That's a lot of moving parts.
It's a say, I've been a Celtic supporter all my life, and I don't want Hibs to beat Celtic, but just the way Celtic have been playing all season, even under Martin O'Neill twice, okay, we've started to pick up the reins a wee bit, but it's already been mentioned on the show, Easter Road's a very hard place to go for Celtic, and has been for many years. And my own personal opinion, I think Hibs will beat Celtic.
That's interesting, because a lot of the Celtic, we just heard from one, a lot of Celtic fans have gone into this week feeling really confident all of a sudden about the league, but you're not one of them.
Not really. Just for the simple fact that we've been playing all season. And obviously, I really think Hearts will beat Rangers on Monday. And then, as I say, if it finishes a draw between the Old Firm next Sunday and Hearts even get a draw themselves or win, then even before the last game of the season when we play Hearts, Hearts will already be champions anyway.
This is tremendous. Even you wouldn't try and go four games in advance.
The one thing that characterises this season more than any other is that week to midweek to weekend, nobody has the first idea what's going to happen. Not one person. I said to a caller two or three weeks ago, I freely admit on behalf of the written press, television and radio, nobody knows what they're talking about. Nobody.
This might be a good time to get the Rangers fans involved, Scott, because what I think is, a lot closer to being a main consideration now than the scenario that we just heard. Rangers need it now because of the position they find themselves in. Because you can point out, Hearts still need to go to Fir Park, it should be tough. Celtic still need to go to Fir Park. But for Rangers, if they don't win at Tynecastle, that it's too late for to get your snooker, you know, when Hearts or Celtic go there, if indeed Motherwell do what the Rangers fans are hoping. So, you know, it's a sprint to the finish, use whatever cliche you want. There's only four games to go, so you can't necessarily wait to get a result going in your favour down the line. If you're Rangers, something needs to happen now for them.
No, and this is why Monday's the biggest game of the season for me. We've said that four or five times season, but this really is. If Rangers don't win, they're out of it. There's no getting away from that. And I think at the same time, that thing goes in Hearts' favour. They know they can literally take Rangers out of the title race, and their focus gets even better, their momentum gets even better. But as a Rangers fan,
which
Rangers
is incredible, because that really, because that means as a Rangers fan, you might be sitting going, if only we had got a point at home to Motherwell, and that genuinely could have made, that could have made some difference.
But that's the margins we've been dealing with, and the margins we were expecting coming into this split.
Anyway, right, okay, we'll leave it there. 01419511025 to join in, and please do, plenty of time left. It's the final night of the championship. Three teams can all go down. Amazing drama there. And speaking of going down, Livy are in action tonight. Is it a stay of execution? Is it going to be the start of a miracle? We don't know. They got a victory last weekend. We'll see how it plays out against Aberdeen. This weekend, we're doing something special on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, because the 3rd of May is 40 years since Celtic's title win in 86. And you'll know the story, even if you weren't around. Hearts lost the trophy on the final day after goals from Dundee's Albert Kidd. Now, join my learned friend, Mr. Hugh Keevans, from 6pm on Sunday, straight after Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're going to revisit all the events from Love Street and Dens, which changed the course of the title. Who are you joined by, Hugh? Give us some of the highlights.
Jim Duffy, who was the captain of Dundee that day. I spoke to Albert Kidd on a Zoom call.
Is that the first time you've ever been on
in West Adelaide in Australia? Peter Grant, who was on the subs bench for Celtic that day, all manner of people, and Richard Park, who the man who hired me for this radio station, who was commentating on the game at Paisley. I was at Paisley with Richard and the Radio Clyde legend that is Jimmy Sanderson. It's all there in one incredible package.
This really is something for everyone, because if you're younger, this is a proper history lesson about one of the most memorable conclusions to a season in Scottish football history. And if you remember it, the wave of nostalgia you're going to get from clips like this.
Tommy Burns has the ball just now, plays it forward for Maurice Johnston at the edge of the area. Maurice Johnston, wide pass for Paul McStay to take it down to the byline. He crosses in, that's a good one. Oh, Jim Stewart very nearly drops it, fumbles it, catches it at the second attempt. Dundee have scored! And Celtic can't believe it, but yes, the news sweeps around the ground. Dundee have scored. Jim Craig.
Yes, Richard, a corner from the far side by Robert Connor, in swinging corner, was not cleared by the Hearts defence. And I think eventually it was Albert Kidd who seemed to hook it into the roof of the net. So we have now only 7 minutes left for play here. It's Dundee 1, Hearts 0.
7 or 8 minutes to go in this game here. There's 4 minutes left here. And all of a sudden it appears that Celtic are going to do it. All of a sudden this match, which has been in limbo, swings Celtic's way dramatically. If you're a Celtic supporter and you're near Love Street, why aren't you here?
That'll feel like yesterday for some of you. But anyway, join us, the Albert Kidd, the Heartbreak Season, this Sunday, 6pm. You can listen live or watch on the YouTube channel.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen is here, so is Hugh Keevans. Get your calls in. What a weekend it is going to be. And actually starts tonight, the championship season. The title has been sewn up. We look forward to the promotion playoffs. But my goodness, what about the bottom? Three teams all in action tonight. Could all go down, two of them playing each other. That's drama on the last night of the season. Livingston are playing Aberdeen in the Premiership tonight as well, where we find out if last week's win was just a late season mild boost for Marvin Bartley, or whether it's the start of some sort of miracle. Before we go any further, let me give you this question.
The full-time teaser with Arkiplan Glasgow. planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right. Thanks to Thomas and Crookston for sending it in. Can you name the last six top flight managers to be involved in a Premiership playoff final? The last six top flight managers to be involved in a Premiership playoff final.
Are we going back as far as Roy Aitken?
Absolutely not.
No.
Why are you looking confused? Do you want to repeat it a third time?
Please.
Who are the last six top flight managers to be involved in a Premiership playoff final? So you're looking at managers that finished near the bottom and had to go in the playoffs.
Chris Dillon?
Nope.
Martindale?
Nope. They went straight down, Livy, didn't they? So they were the top flight manager and they ended the season in the playoffs, basically.
Malcolm McKay?
Yes. Ross County against Thistle. Sorry to remind you, Thistle fans. Take one more guess maybe before we move on.
Stephen Robinson?
Nope.
Terry Butcher?
No. Okay, let's give them some thinking time. They need to regroup. That wasn't a great start. Thank you to Thomas and Crookston for sending in. The address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com, and it's thanks to the sponsors Arcaplan Glasgow as well. Let's hear a bit from Danny Rule. We'll talk Rangers and how this weekend's going to pan out for them. This is his thoughts generally on the title picture at the moment.
You will have a lot of 50-50 duels. What you have to win, you have to move the ball in good areas, you have to be very active, you have to ask for the ball, this is crucial, you have to be good organized. I think you have to be smart in the duels, because if you make stupid fouls in dangerous areas, then we give them the strength for set plays as well. On the other side, if we have our best day, then I think they have also a lot of challenges to control us, and I think this is the part as well. We need now, in the next four games, performance what is nearly and maybe sometimes over 100% to take the points. I think this is crucial now. You cannot just play 95%. Or just 45 minutes good football. You have to play it over the full time, and this is a big part.
Robert's a Rangers fan. How would you sum up your feelings heading into this weekend, Robert?
Nice. I never thought we would end up where we are a couple of months ago, but anyway, I just think it might just be a wee bit too far for us. I think we've dropped too many points and games where we should have won, and I think I'm still not saying we're not going to win it. I'd love to win it. It would be a big shock to everybody, including myself.
Because surely, if you beat Hearts, though, you know, it's one game. You beat Hearts, it's bang on, is it? Is it not?
Well, in hindsight, aye, you would say aye, but the way my team's playing, it's like a roller coaster. I mean, you're on a high one game, and then you're on a down on the next. It's just, I don't know. It's turning into a right good, exciting running. You know what I mean?
Do you think part of the reason for that, Scott, was it I don't even know if unexpected is, it probably does still cover it from last weekend, where everybody knows Motherwell are having a good season, but they had started leaking goals. Rangers had really started scoring them at home. You mentioned Celtic Park. Ibrox was absolutely rocking last Sunday. It was so loud. There was a real expectancy in the air, and Motherwell just dealt with that on the pitch. And do you think that's where, although it was only one game, although you look at the arithmetic and what it did to the table, it was almost like the wind kind of taking out the sails, sort of thing.
I actually felt the break between that wasn't in Rangers' favour, because I felt, obviously being the two goals down against Falkirk, coming back, scoring the goals as they did, the momentum, if you then lead into the following week, would have been through the roof for Rangers. It wasn't the break. They went a He went away to La Manga, I'm sure it was, and came back, and at the same time as you've got the break, Jens Bertolasco's got 2 weeks to come up with a tactical plan to make it really difficult for you at home at Ibrox, and he's certainly done that. And for me, I just felt on the day Danny Roll took too long to notice where the problems lied. And it wouldn't be for the first time this season where it's took him to half time to make the changes. If you see it earlier, you can make the changes instead of it being two, it's only one, and you give yourself an easier way back into the game. I just felt on this occasion it was just too little too late. And I know they come back with the two goals, Gordon and Hugh, but after that, the point, as you says a few moments ago, Gordon, the point would have been okay for Rangers considering where they were in that first half, but I just felt he didn't see it quick enough, and that was part of the problem.
The Motherwell result was a savage blow for Robert on the line and every other Rangers fan who was inside Ibrox, and Danny Rule is getting the blame for it for a variety of reasons.
I think he has to take that one.
Yeah, of course. And that's why Monday night for Danny Rule, it's a big, big game.
Is there something about Hearts, Robert, that might suit Rangers a bit more? You know, they lost early in the season a couple of times, but they had that good win when Hearts came to Ibrox, and just looking at the way the two teams play, can you not find a bit of confidence that you could get that one done?
Listen, MD knows me. I mean, I'll support my team through thick and thin, and Hugh will probably remember me. I came on in the said, it's a new day, it's a new dawn, and he started laughing. And as I said, I'm not going to say never. I mean, as I said, I'm looking forward to the game on Monday. I really am. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it'll be a wee bit thingy because, again, with Tav going away, I think it's only once this guy goes we'll realise what we're missing for him. I really do.
Element of it, Robert, and I really did laugh only because you'd rarely get a chance to have Michael Bubley on the Super Scoreboard. But the Tavernier thing for me is overrated. You know, that Rangers as a club are trying to win a rare, what has become a rare league title. I think it's more about the club than about James Tavernier.
Do you think he'll play this weekend, Scott? I just thought that at the weekend there, it was a home game, you know, not an away battle that you sometimes get. It was a home game. It was the week in which he announced his retirement. Ibrox was rocking. Just kind of expected them to start on the back of that. And then to make it worse for Rangers fans, you don't want to be hindsight about it, but Dujon Sterling had a really tough afternoon. And then James Tavernier came on. What about this week, though? Because it's a different challenge, isn't
different
it?
Different challenge altogether, I think. Yeah, I think he probably still goes with Sterling. I think last week, what you're dealing with is a manager who sets his team up so different from anybody else, so much fluidity in players having to make decisions in moments on the pitch, which are difficult when you're playing against a team like that.
The league table doesn't lie. The league table tells you Hearts are better than Motherwell. That's how league tables work. But to use a boxing analogy, which you'll... or a boxing phrase that Hugh will have covered many times when they talk about, you know, styles make fights. Is there something about Rangers and Hearts? It'll be a bit more of that kind of toe-to-toe. They'll try and like overpower each other. They're both very good at set pieces, whereas Motherwell have proven to be a real problem for Rangers all season. Do you know what I mean?
Other teams.
Is the Motherwell game relevant for Rangers is what I'm trying to talk about.
No, not for this one. Listen, you hear Danny Rowe in that interview, the things he's talking about, Jules, what he's saying is the basics, the fundamentals, which you would expect from a Rangers team going to Tynecastle. They have to do all of that. Bravery, a lot of people compare that to winning tackles, but at the same time, it's taking the ball under pressure and being brave, looking to play forward. Rangers have to do all these things. And first of all, they have to defend better. There's no getting away from that. I've seen a lot of people, whether it was on X or guys phoning up here, not happy with the running back, and that's one of the first things you're taught. Run back is at the same speed you would run forward. There was guys on Saturday in that game who didn't do the hard yards, as you would expect as a Rangers player, especially in such a big game. So I do feel you're kind of spot on with that one, Gordon, where it's a completely different game from what you're going to face against Motherwell. Technically and tactically.
What does pressure do, Hugh? Nobody's immune from it now. Hearts have been top for so long, won't want to chuck it away. They're at home. But the Rangers players know that this is it.
Yeah,
you know, no real room for error.
Yeah, as I say, you start with the manager or head coach, Danny Rule, will get the blame. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week, if Hearts beat Rangers at Tynecastle, Danny Rule will get it in the neck on this programme, 2 hours a night, five nights of the week. So the pressure on him is huge. I don't think there's been great pressure on Martin O'Neill, because everyone knows the kind of season that Celtic have been through. Martin did his level best. If Celtic hadn't employed Wilfred Nancy, Martin O'Neill would have been Celtic on top of the league, and I think the title would have been won by this time.
But now the hopes are up as well, of a sudden. So that's but different.
The hope brings the pressure.
But I don't think the fans will focus on Martin O'Neill in the same way that the Rangers fans will focus on Danny Rule if Hearts win the title. If Hearts do not win the title from the position they're in at the moment, then Derek McInnes will get it in the neck.
Yeah, Rangers have to start this game well. That is, they have to kind of stamp their authority in the game, and all the things that we speak about, the duels, the fighting, the bravery, that has to be a given on Monday to give them a chance of going winning the game there.
Right, thank you to Robert. Before we go any further, let me extend a warm welcome to our new podcast sponsor, White Mackay, triple matured whiskey crafted on the Clyde, a bit like Hugh Keevans, proudly from Glasgow, but celebrated globally. If you ever miss the show, you can always catch up on Rayo or wherever you get your podcast. So check out the Clyde One Super Scoreboard podcast, proudly sponsored by White & Mackay Triple Matured Whiskey, a proper Scotch whiskey for proper football chat. So visit whitemackay.com, and as always, drink responsibly.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are on the home straight with Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans. It's a huge night in the Championship and the Premiership, a huge weekend to come down the leagues. Lots happening. Let me quickly revisit this teaser for you this evening. Can you name the last six top flight managers who are involved in the Premiership playoffs? I'm doing that off the top of my head because I can't find the question. There it is. Thomaston Crookson sent it in. You've got Malky Mackay so far. That's it.
Jack Ross.
Jack Ross is not one. Nope.
Craig Levein.
Nope.
Jim Goodwin.
No. Oh, you're struggling here. Oh. Right, let's.
Is there a St Johnstone manager?
I'm going to patronise you here. Let's think logically. Let's go last season. Who went down in the playoffs last season? Who got relegated last season?
Ross County.
Uh-huh. Okay. In the playoffs?
Yeah.
Okay, who was their manager? This seems like a sensible place to start. He's not their manager anymore, as you know, because you've just seen Stuart Kettlewell on your telly.
Striker, Jim.
No! What? You going Jim McIntyre from about 5 years ago? His brother was his assistant, was he not? This is.
Midfielder, played for Hearts as well. Give me the first letter of his name. Just give me the first
joke,
letter of his name.
I'll just tell you his shoe size, star sign.
Just give me the first letter of his name.
D.
D.
This is ridiculous.
He played for Cardiff, didn't he?
Yes.
Yes. His name's
Don Cowie. Don Come on.
Oh, dear.
I don't hold out much hope.
I gave you his life story.
Four left. Name. Right, there is a St Johnstone one. Who would that be?
Tommy Wright.
No. Oh, sorry. He's in there, but you're lucky. You're lucky. Kilmarnock.
That's what I thought. Same thing. Tommy Wright's in there.
Who took St Johnstone down? Who had St Johnstone in the playoffs? Didn't take them down.
I thought it was Craig Levein though.
No, before that, did well at St Johnstone as well, and then it went wrong.
Oh, Cam Davis.
Yes. Okay, my word. This is like spoon feeding.
You're usually quite strong at these shows.
Are you? Right, big night tonight in the Championship. Raith Rovers against Ross County is on the telly just now. Ross County are one of three teams that can go down, along with Morton and Airdrie, who are playing each other. How good is that, first of all? Not if you're involved, maybe. Who goes down tonight? Imagine Ross County, back-to-back relegations.
Well, they're bottom as things stand, aren't they? So I don't hold out a lot of hope for them that they've had.
Airdrie, I'm going to go Airdrie.
Well, I don't know. Ross County have just Roy McGregor, you know, they have a good budget, strong budget, because he's a wealthy man.
Do you think they have a strong budget in League One as well, if they were to come down?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ross County might actually be the one.
So, a few highlights, if you like, or permutations. So, a draw for Morton at Capello would make sure Morton finish above Airdrie and Ross County, right? So Morton only need a draw. Airdrie could be overtaken by Ross County if Ross County win away at Raith. Should Ross County draw at Raith, they would only avoid 10th if Airdrie were to lose by at least 6 goals, which mm-hmm. seems unlikely. So,
and if Ross County lose at Raith?
Well, they're bottom, so they're yeah. done, yeah, no matter what. They're gone, so there we go. But it's not all about jeopardy and relegation. There is glory on the line this weekend as well. And yep. look, at, is this what Scott Allen does to the show? This might be one of the few times we're going to finish a show with an East Kilbride fan. Stephen, you got your title party planned?
I think so, aye. I think there's going to be a wee do after it. So one of the boys' birthdays is straight after the game, so... I think we'll be heading up there for a wee party.
What's the mindset like? Because it's, I mean, it's one, isn't it? Is that the way you see it? Is that a dangerous mindset?
I think it is slightly dangerous, but I mean, I was sitting there singing Championies last Saturday at Dumbarton.
Oh, you've changed your tune then. How's it dangerous?
I don't know. It's I don't want to put the cart before the horse a wee bit, and I think it's all but done. One hand's on the trophy. It's just we need to get the job done tomorrow.
Football does that to you. You're singing Championies and 6 days later you're saying it's not done yet. And don't...
Aye.
Listen, Stephen, I'm just intrigued. You know, before there was an East Kilbride, before the K Park and all that stuff, did you have a team? Or are you part of a growing East Kilbride support?
No, so originally I grew up a Rangers fan. And then my son's severely disabled, so we kind of looked for a club that would kind of suit his needs mm-hmm. yeah. as well, so he can go to a game and enjoy it a wee bit. And about 10 years ago we started going to East Kilbride, and we've been home and away ever since, and the club's been great to my family. So,
well, I'll tell you I can totally empathise with you, because I have an autistic grandson who found football and goes to watch Clyde Bank, a season ticket holder, because that was the one thing in his life that was really important to him. So I can totally empathise with you.
See if that's the case, Stephen, because you've been there on the journey then. You've not jumped on like a glory hunter like Scott Allen here. What would it mean to you and your family then if you could get this title wrapped up?
It would mean everything. We've been there, we've had maybe 3 attempts at the promotion out of the playoff in our time being at the club, and we fell short last year. We managed to break the curse to get back to back promotion to League One. If somebody told me that 2 years ago, I'd have told them they were crazy.
Yeah, but Scott Allen, what's the feeling internally? Because Stephen's shown us what football fandom's like. He's celebrating being champions last week. Now he's changed his mind. It's dangerous to get carried away. So you are 3 points ahead of Spartans. You're at home to Clyde. You have a 5 better goal difference. So clearly there's a range of defeats that sees you being champions anyway. You have it in your own hands. Clyde have got the playoffs to contend with on Tuesday. Do they rest players?
I think they have some.
Sorry, Spartans
well.
Are, remind me.
Spartans are dropped down
my head. Away Stirling Albion. So what's the feeling internally tomorrow?
I think it's kind of been the same way it's been all season. That's obviously look after our own performance, a game where we would expect to go and dominate the ball, create that we have done. Obviously, John Robertson's been outstanding for us. I think it's 41 goal involvements in 44 games, so it shows you how important he's been for us. And collectively, we've been really good. There's been times in the season we were 8 points behind Spartans. We obviously lost 6-0 at home to Spartans, and after that, a lot of people felt that Spartans would go and wrap it up. And the players, to be fair, responded really well, went on a really good winning streak. So for us last week, I was, to put it this way, I was more nervous last week in the Dumbarton away game. Again, we could have had a stronger goal difference. We should have been maybe 3 or 4 out of sight. Second half, I had to deal with a lot of pressure, defended really well, so showed different parts of our games. But tomorrow, I just think when you've got a home crowd, which it will be like tomorrow, lots of players will have their families there. I think you have to go out and take care of business.
Come on, Hugh, you don't have time for messing around. Tell them both. They can pop the champagne, can they not?
Yeah.
5 goal advantage.
I expect to see Scott at the PFA dinner on Sunday night, and I expect them to be carrying a bottle of champagne for his old granddad.
Will John Robertson of East Kilbride win the League Two Player of the Year, Stephen?
Absolutely outstanding this season. Even ever since he joined us, he's been unbelievable. He's been a joy to watch, and
I hope that we can keep a hold of them.
Brilliant. Anyway, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Stephen's line went a wee bit there, but we got him at the end. And yeah, East Kilbride could be League 2 champions tomorrow. Back-to-back promotions. We'll keep an eye on that throughout the course of the afternoon. There's a few things to tidy up. We'll know the completed championship table as well. No goals yet between Raith and Ross County. Ross County needs something there, remember. And that is almost us out of time. This teaser this evening: who are the last six top flight managers to be involved in a Premiership playoff final? Going back the way, you've got Don Cowie from last season, Malky Mackay the season before, it's always Ross County, Callum Davidson of St Johnston, Tommy Wright of Kilmarnock, which you forget about. There was no playoff the season before due to COVID. And then you've got a couple. So the 18-19 season and the 17-18. If you get anything at all, do you need clues?
He's won Partick?
Yes.
Archibald?
Yes, Alan Archibald, who might end up on the coaching staff of the Premiership winners this season. He's at Hearts at the moment.
It was after that.
Do you know what? It's a great answer, this, because it's one of these, and certainly in a few years, if not already, it'll be, God, remember him. Just sort of flitted in and out, got to the, and dragged into the playoffs. And
Motherwell?
No, St Mirren.
The Irish fella.
The Irish fella.
Oran Kearney.
Oran Kearney. Yeah. Good teamwork from you two. We are back 2 o'clock tomorrow. What a weekend we've got in store. Rest up, the GBX. We'll keep you entertained next.